How do you get your news nowadays? Who do you trust? I know that's kind of personal. Maybe it shouldn't be because we're just talking about news sources here as well. But we have seen a lot of new news sources out there, and I'm having trouble knowing who to trust. I figure a few out, and that's where I go, so to speak. But how are you consuming news nowadays? Who's your like dominant source of news, right? And are you really paying attention to all these current events? And how much does politics play a part in your influences in the people that you trust? The Greater Montana Foundation has been around quite some time here, and they do a lot of really good things. But one of the things that they've done since 2015 is this survey, specifically how Montanans receive their news. That was released last week. We're going to go all over it today here on Voices of Montana. 71% use social media for news today. Cody,
whoa.
Do you get 71% of your news from social media?
No.
Yeah, right? You were maybe like 34% did in 2015.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's kind of where you're at right now. You know. Yeah, I'm a grumpy old man nowadays. Yeah. Anyway, there's a lot of changes out there in our world. And one of these surveys helps us track those changes. And it informs us, I think, in a lot of ways. And this is the Greater Montana Foundation survey. The Greater Montana Foundation. We'll talk with Jim Senst a bit later on. He's a longtime Montana veteran broadcaster and friend, colleague as well, who sits on that board. Dr. Bill Whitsitt is with us here as well, as we'll welcome Bill back to the program. He's the guy who's hosted the program from time to time, and he's got a long litany of success in not only the broadcast industry, actually kind of the one who kicked off the Montana Television Network as a news organization. It's still going on. But he was the first DJ in Montana to ever play a Beatles song on the radio. Bill, I would put that on a certificate and put it up in like four of my, 10 rooms in my house today. How are you,
what
sir?
What a claim to fame. I'm surprised you remember that.
Well, I had to be reminded, not by you, but I did, in researching the show. Oh, that's right. And maybe, like you said, we'll play a game and find out who might know what that first Beatles song was played in Montana. We'll go back to that. John Baldridge is with us as well, Survey Research Director with the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research, the BBER. I love that place. It is so full of information for you, and it's very well vetted information, too. Good morning, John. How are you, sir?
Hey, good morning. I'm doing very well. Thank you. It's great to be here and to talk about some survey research with you.
Well, this one, thank you so much for it, too. Again, it's bber.umt.edu. Just go on there. If you've got any kind of curiosity about anything in Montana, you'll find it. Those people at BBER had that curiosity first, I think. Again, thank you both for being here. I'm gonna start. I'll go back to Dr. Bill Whitsitt, okay, Bill, because we're gonna get as much as we can out of you, John. You've been doing this survey since 2015, Bill. Since then, you were chair of the Greater Montana Foundation. You brought this to the public, so to speak. Go back to that. And I'm so thankful now because you have so much record to go back on and see how we have, I don't know, evolved is the right word, but how we certainly have moved along here in Montana.
Well, thanks, John. Glad to do that. You know, the Greater Montana Foundation, and we'll get into more of this in the second part of the show, but really was founded in 1958 by a pioneer broadcaster, Ed Craney. And when we as a board, thought about how well we were doing and fulfilling our mission. And our mission is really to encourage communication, focus on electronic media, but communication about issues, trends, and values that are important to present and future generations of Montana. We said, how do we know what kind of a job we're doing? And what would Ed Craney want in terms of good insights? So we asked ourselves, Ed would probably want to know where Montanans get their news. What does it mean to see a blurring of media sector lines where newspaper reporters maybe have to tape video nowadays, or getting news from handheld devices that you mentioned, and television reporters writing for a station's news blog? I mean, all of these were changes we were beginning to see. And we said, let's do a survey and hopefully repeat it every so many years, so we can track the trends of how Montanans get their news, where they get it, how they use it, and what do they see as those important issues as we go forward. And so it's been a fascinating run. We've had a great time, and this recent survey is by far our best.
John Baldridge also with us. That's Dr. Bill Widsett once again. And John, Survey Research Director with the University of Montana's Bureau of Business and Economic Research. John, we've talked from time to time, especially when a lot of these surveys come out, and I appreciate your expertise on this. Before I want to jump right into, you know, what's the most surprising finding, talk about the survey. Why is it credible?
Well, first, Tom, thanks for having us on. And it gives me an opportunity to talk about what I really love, and that is providing the people of Montana and decision makers with information that they can use to help their own lives and to make better decisions. So thanks very much. This particular survey that we're lucky enough to have funded by the Greater Montana Foundation was sampled using the very best sampling technique that is currently available in survey research. It's a random address-based sample. And we administered this thing in November 2025 through February 2026. And during that time, we got 406 completions. And so what that really means is the margin of error around a percentage we might bandy about today is going to have a margin of error of plus or minus 6 percentage points. Now, people need to keep in mind that these data are weighted to make them representative. People also need to know that Greater Montana Foundation and University of Montana BBER got some really vital assistance on this project from an expert named Nicole McCleskey of a really reputable survey research firm called Public Opinion Strategies. The last thing that people need to keep in mind is that even though I talk about a margin for error, we here at the Bureau are humble, and we know that there can be other sources of error in survey research, like we could make a mistake in questionnaire wording, or folks might make a mistake in how they remember what we're asking them to report to us. So when we talk about these results, they use the very best methods that we can use. But we're always just a little bit humble about them. So that's kind of what I want folks to keep in mind before we jump into talking about results. So shall I jump in, talk about results?
I'm going to have Dr. Witsit kind of weigh in here a little bit, because, Bill, I know, you know, in your long career, you hold a PhD in public administration from George Washington University. Congratulations to that. Yeah, you taught graduate classes as well. Public affairs, government relations in the energy industry for Devon Energy for a long time, and other organizations there as well. You have been on the program, led some shows here, talking about the value of these surveys and also the message machine that has surfaced from, well, a lot of money now being in politics and maybe just better communication technology, whatnot. What is your give us a sense of that. Give us a sense of where your concerns are about surveys and how we should be using them.
Well, that's a set of great questions, because I think we are now more subject than ever to potential manipulation by what's out there on social media, in the media, where it's become very politicized and very siloed. And John is going to talk about some of the findings of the survey that really should cause a great deal of concern as we think about not only what I just mentioned, but what you mentioned about real news organizations or not real news organizations, mm-hmm. organizations that really like to portray themselves perhaps as being news ones, but really they're advocacy groups. So again, I think all of this, if I were to boil it down, means to me that we as consumers of news need to be much more careful and much more selective and much more inquisitive than we may otherwise be prone to be. And at the same time, we have to seek out news organizations that don't just agree with our political views, but really we're convinced are ethical and try to report on things rather than advocate things. And I think as John goes through some of the findings, you'll see how important that is right here in Montana.
Thank you. John, go ahead. What stands out?
All right.
Yeah.
Well, what stands out to me and to the folks here at Bureau of Business and Economic Research is really five things. First, the rise of social media in Montana among consumers of news in Montana. People are really using social media as a platform from which to get news much more today than they were in 2015. Second, folks either on their handheld device or on their computer are consuming the news that is presented to them on their news feed on their handheld device as a source of news. They don't select that news. Rather, it is delivered to them. And at least half of Montanans cite that as a source of news. Next, we really are continuing to see in Montana people selecting their individual sources of news based on their own ideology and their own values, and they're selecting sources that they believe match that ideology and those values. Next, when people converse with one another, either online or in person, about the news, they are choosing to have those conversations more and more only with people they know and trust and less with people they don't know. We call that an echo chamber. Finally, the most important issue among Montanans, it's no surprise, it's inflation and the cost of living. And the last thing I really want to highlight is that local news remains vitally important to the people of Montana. And with those, I can talk about individual results just a little more to flesh them out, if you'd like.
Let's do that.
Or I'll stop and let...
Yeah, let's do that on the other side of the break. I'm up against it now. It's good timing. Okay, so rise of social media, consuming news presented to them. I think that's what you're calling passive news reception. Individual sources are selected on ideology, echo chamber, but local news still very important. Those are some of the findings of this Greater Montana Foundation survey. We're going to get into it more here real fast. Cody, you got a guess for me? DJ Bill Witsit. He played the first Beatles song in Montana. He thinks it was like 1964. We're going to play a little bit here. Yes?
Let's see. Okay.
Was it 8 days a week, Bill? Ticket to Ride, Bill. What was the first Beatles song played in
Montana?
Was
that it? I love her.
How about
did we lose?
No, we got you. Go ahead.
Please, please me.
Oh, okay. Oh. Thank you. All right. I think that's so cool. Yep. Help. That's one that
I thought maybe, but
yeah,
no.
Yeah.
Oh, great songs.
Subliminal message for us here, I think. John, lay into us here, okay? You gave some of those top five, six impressions there. John Baldridge, again, with us, Survey Research Director, University of Montana, BBER. We're talking about the Greater Montana Foundation survey about how you, as a Montanan, get your news. The BBER and the Greater Montana Foundation have been doing it since 2015. So we can see some trends in this as well. John, yeah, go ahead, please.
Right. Well, one of the most striking trends was that Montanans use social media much more today than they did in the past to access news or information. In 2015, 34% of Montanans said that they at least once in a while used social media to access news or information. That increased in 2019 to 47%, but then it really jumped up to fall 2025, winter 2026. 71% of adult Montanans say they at least once in a while use social media to access news and information. And that really changes the way that we use access news in Montana. But next, one of the more interesting things that we found was that 67% of Montanans read or listen to the news that is delivered to them as opposed to the news they search out or that interests them. 67%, two-thirds of Montanans consume news in a way that we call passively. That is, they look on their handheld device. Samsung or Apple News or Google provides them a list of news stories, and they read them. They don't know where they're from, really. They just read them. So that was one of the big things that jumped out to us. Another thing that we found over the years, starting really in 2015, was that Democrats or Republicans seem to select their news source based on that news source's perceived ideology or bent or however you want to describe that. So let me give you a peek into what we call a representative Democrats news silo, because within that silo are the sources of news that a Democrat might use, and you'll notice what they're not using, where they're not going. A Democrat might go to NewYorkTimes.com and the Bozeman Chronicle and CNN once in a while and MS Now, which used to be MSNBC, and then Google, that passive news consumption. Okay, and you'll notice I didn't say Fox News or one of the Montana television network stations. But if we go to a Republican's sources of news and look in their news silo, we will find Fox News, the ABC Fox stations, Google, the Montana television network, or the NBC Montana television stations. So the Montanans are consuming their news really in a silo based on the ideological, their perception of the ideological bent of that news source. And finally, one thing that I really wanted to talk about was in 2015, we asked people if online they ever shared a news item to influence other people. And 43% of people in Montana said that they did share a news item to influence others in 2015. And that went up to 63% in 2019. But now in 2025, 2026, that has dropped to 26%.
Wow.
What that means is that people aren't conversing with each other about news with people they don't know. Instead, they're conversing only with folks that they do know. They might have got into a fight, a little dust up on social media about news, about politics. And this is borne out in national surveys. 56% of U.S. adults have stopped talking with someone about political news, according to the Pew Research Center. And nationwide, it's very much like Montanans. Only 31% of U.S. adults now share news on the internet with somebody else.
Doesn't that defeat the whole purpose of news?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, indeed. And it's the polarization that we see in those news silos is spilling over to how we relate to one another with regard to news. And that's something that I really think, and it's happening right here in Montana, not just worldwide. That's something that I think we really need to pay attention to. One other one that I wanted to just hit very quickly is that Greater Montana Foundation does a great job in informing Montanans what other Montanans are really interested in. And Montanans currently, as opposed to 2015 or 2019, say that inflation and the cost of living is the number one issue in the state of Montana. Inflation and cost of living. And that occurs whether you're male or female, young or old, and that occurs whether you're a Democrat or a Republican. All of those groups agree that inflation and the cost of living is the number one issue in Montana. Finally, I need to wrap up with the fact that 84% of adults in Montana say that local news is at least somewhat important to them and to their family. And that is a message for optimism, in my opinion, and something that we all need to keep in mind. So from there, I think I'll get off the podium and see if there's anything that you guys want to discuss or anything about that really interests you.
I got a minute and a half left here, and I'll ask this question to Bill on the other side of this break. I know we're going to let you go. Jim Sensed is going to join us here a little bit, a longtime Montana veteran broadcaster and a member of the Greater Montana Foundation. John, what came first, this perception of ideology? Did the bias come first, and then the news departments reflected that bias in the populace? Or did they start shifting and now people are responding with favored ideological sites?
We began to see the news silos in 2016 when we first did a survey focused specifically on the internet. But we did not see the changes in behavior with regard to echo chambers, people conversing with only their friends, relatives, and colleagues about news and not conversing with other people. But over time, that echo chamber effect has grown. You could say that that echo chamber has solidified, has become,
John, great,
more ironclad.
I appreciate that, and I wish I had more time. But look, the phone is open, and we'll have you back on regarding this as well. John Baldridge, thank you. Bill Whitsitt will stand by. Jim Sensed joins us next here on Voice. When it comes to news, who do you trust? When it comes to news, what do you do with it? Those are some of the things we're talking about here as well. As the Greater Montana Foundation has done a survey since 2015. New results out here for the 2025-2026 survey talks about the rise of social media, talks about how we are passively consuming our news, not searching it out, just kind of taking what is sent to us. I think that raises some red flags there as well. The fact that we are more divided ideologically and our news sources are divided ideologically keeps us in silos. Another important point here of this survey. Welcome back. It's From Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana. I'm Tom Schultz, joined by friends of our industry and colleagues as well. Dr. Bill Whitsitt is with us, a pioneering broadcaster in Montana. Started out as a news director at KRTV in Great Falls, helped create the Montana Television Network, and now that's one of those trusted news sources out there. Had a career as well in public administration, government relations in the energy industry, and now back in 2015, he's a chairman emeritus, but 2015, he was chair of the Greater Montana Foundation and initiated this survey. We're joined now by Jim Senst as well, a radio friend. He made a pretty good living out of Great Falls, Montana, where he began his broadcasting career. Worked in Helena a little bit too, but we're going back to the 70s and the 80s. Late 80s, became general manager over there, vice president, and so just knows a ton here. Bill is on the line as well. Let's welcome Jim. Jim, good morning. Are you doing okay?
Yeah, you know, I'm doing super, and I'm down in my basement looking out at a pond that we have that has tripled in size over the last few days. It's and it's still raining, so it's an interesting day. But no, I'm doing well, and it's good to hear your voice and spend some time with you.
As long as that pond doesn't start growing in your basement, then that's what we're hoping for. I know Bill up in the Big Fork area as well. You're looking at some rising water too, huh, Bill?
We are. The river's looking pretty full out my window, and I think we're still in great shape in terms of flooding, except lowland flooding out here. And but it's pretty.
Yeah, well, hang on, everybody. I know we need the moisture, but we need it in its place as well. Jim, we just heard a lot of good stuff about this survey from John Baldridge, and Dr. Whitsitt's with us here. We got some analysis I want to get to as well. But for the Greater Montana Foundation, why is this important? Why do you continue to do this? And then I think we have to talk about what the GMF does, too, because there's grants and advisory positions that I don't think that we know an awful lot about.
Well, yeah, thank you. You know, the Greater Montana Foundation, we used this, I mean, it was back in 2015 when we were going, are we going in the direction, and Bill touched on this earlier, direction that E.B. Craney would have wanted us to do so. And E.B. Craney was just one of those visionary, unbelievable pioneer broadcasters. I think he really is the father of broadcasting in the state of Montana for radio and stuff. And he founded this foundation in 58. And he, in a letter years ago, said, hey, to the trustees, I don't want you taking the easy way out. Don't do scholarships. Don't buy equipment. Use your brains. How can you benefit the people of the state of Montana? And that's been his whole emphasis. So, when Bill was chairman back in 15, that's when we started looking at going, well, are we really addressing the needs of Montana? What is important to Montanans? And that's why that first survey came around. And I was kind of surprised after the first one when it said, we get news online. Well, what does that mean? Are they going to your site, Northern Broadcasting site, and looking at the website? Are they just going to different online platforms and hoping that's valid news? And, you know, in this whole internet and social media came about, I felt it was a very innocent platform to reach out to former class members, friends, relatives. And with each additional platform added, it's really, as John said, it seems to have polarized people more than bringing people together. So this survey is very, very critical to the Montana or Greater Montana Foundation, because in our grant applications, which are submitted online to us, one of the things in there is that we request that they address the needs of and concerns of Montanans. And if they don't, then we have to weigh that a little bit differently. We film all, or do all kinds of educational films, documentaries, podcasts, miniseries. We have about 30 grants coming up here in about 4 weeks, and there's so much fascinating things that people are doing out there for the benefit of Montanans.
I love that about this foundation as well, that you're a community foundation, right? It's kind of run by the industry, but it's very much in the community. GreaterMontana.org for more information. I'm going to get into the impact of this survey. And Bill, I know you've been chomping at the bit here to kind of talk about, and I'm anxious to hear your thoughts on this as a longtime member of the media, but just interested individual as well. The rise of social media, the passive consumption of news, and that, I think that one bothers me quite a bit, because then we're not objective enough about it, I think. And so I'm not sure we're getting the entire truth. And I think about what I'm seeing on social media now. There's these AI generated sites, and they say, hey, I grew up in Montana. They're just nothing but, I think, foreign sponsored as well. It's easy, in my mind, to manipulate the public nowadays. And that is why we had news in the first place, so we wouldn't fall victim to untruths.
Well, I think you're absolutely on target, Tom. I think for me, from a what do we do about this standpoint,
yeah.
Most disturbing is the passive news consumption growth that we've seen, where people just accept what comes in, coupled with the use of handheld devices, or maybe an iPad or something like that, because what that opens us up to is getting away from the ethical, the journalism that we've known in the past, where at least there's some modicum of supposedly fairness and inquisitiveness. And what we have then is Apple, Samsung, Google, MSN, actually curating the news, taking the place of, say, a national news editor, and deciding what we should see and hear. And, of course, some of these articles are very attractive, but couple that with the algorithm growth, which is where if you click on something, you're probably going to get more of it, and suddenly you've got this spiral, if really an upward spiral, I'll call it, of siloing, because it's shocking to me how many people I talk to, and they've never heard, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, they've never heard news about something that was less favorable to their beliefs. All they've heard is one side of an issue. And I don't know about you, but even in our family, it's hard to have a conversation about some public policy issues, not partisan necessarily, or they shouldn't be, because there are opinions that are kind of locked in, and they're reinforced by this algorithm-fed information that is sent to people. And if we're not inquisitive, if we don't purposely seek out other views, we're just not going to get them as we probably should for a healthy society. So that's very troubling. I think it puts more responsibility on us as news consumers. It certainly does put more responsibility on news organizations that have lost credibility nationally greatly, because I think people see some of the partisanship or some of the things that they don't very much like. But I think it's quite possible for real news organizations to rebuild credibility. And certainly on the local level, where Montanans believe they have a huge stake, we do see in Montana stations and newspapers that do try to meet those local news needs, and they do it in very professional ways, in new ways that actually reflect some of what we see in the survey. And I know Jim will talk more about that, but we have lots to learn and lots to digest, just as we have in each of these surveys over the years.
Jim, what is, and make it a minute or a minute and a half, I do want to save some time on the other side of the break here. What's the industry's reaction to that? What, passively receiving news, what, and from a profit standpoint, as well, because you want to stay in business. How does the industry respond to that kind of news?
Boy, that easy question, tough answer, maybe. There's no doubt, you know, as Bill said, in Montana, I think our radio, TV, and print people do a very, very good job of getting both sides of the story, getting it right, and working very hard to do so. However, with this fragmentation of media, when I started in radio, there was two TV stations, a newspaper, and a handful of radio stations. Now with cable, satellite, radio, TV, streaming, there are literally hundreds, if not thousands, of options to get your news from. And that is putting pressure on local newsrooms and the economics of radio and TV. I know 4 years ago, before I left Star Radio, my power bill was $120,000. That's a fixed cost. It's not going anywhere. And if the audiences, both radio and TV, are getting more fragmented, going to other sources, well, your local ad revenue, it starts to decline. We're seeing some of that. The Tribune, I never thought they would ever go away, but for the most part, they don't exist much in Great Falls.
Yeah.
So it has put pressure on local broadcasters. And I see a lot of them not doing just advertising for on-air content, but using their websites to for obituaries, events, and expanding their role of rather than just traditional over-the-air broadcasting, other ways to inform the public, but also to generate additional revenue.
Jim Senst again, 26 years as general manager of Star Radio there in Great Falls. And Dr. Bill Whitsitt is with us as well, both either current or former members of the Greater Montana Foundation. And we'll talk more about this survey. We'll get the hot takes. Dr. Whitsitt, I want to just a couple of minutes here. I want to get some of your thoughts here, too, on what stands out. We learned an awful lot about the rise of social media, how we're consuming news, how we're being siloed into it and getting more into our echo chambers. What's the impact of that? How does the industry respond?
Well, intuitively, I think you see a number of media organizations, print, broadcast, and others, that are already seeing the need to change a business model. Of course, as Jim pointed out, all of this has to be paid for. So whether it's by philanthropy, even now you see some newspapers and other organizations that have been totally for profit, seeing if they can create a foundation or something to help offset some of the costs. Broadcasters are certainly going multi-channel. I think you're going to see more pushing out of news items that will cause people to want to go to the broadcast channels, both television and radio. Already we're seeing a movement toward that. So the business model is beginning to change a little bit. And I think this survey will maybe indicate that there needs to be an acceleration of some of these new ideas, some experiments. And I'm sure the Greater Montana Foundation will be right there helping people, whether it's with grants for traditional media organizations or other things, because its mission statement is four parts. And of course, they're all underlined by this need to benefit Montanans by improving communication.
Jim Senst, give us some final thoughts here. We got 30 seconds for you.
Real quick, I just want to dovetail off of one of Bill's comments, but being local broadcasters, we have always stressed being local. And, you know, with my crew at Star Radio, it's local, 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 local. The social media and these other national platforms just can't do what we do. So I think there's a huge value to micro-focusing on news and content with our local broadcasters. And part of EB's vision for broadcasting was to enhance individual broadcasters around the state, both radio and TV.
Jim, we're going to be out of time here. I got the lady on the wall, clock on the wall. Time is over. I appreciate all that you guys do.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.